May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 402. My soul lies cleaving to the dust. Lord, give me life divine. From vain desires and every lust, turn off these eyes of mine. 402.
Thank you. Let us read together from God's holy word two portions of scripture this morning. The first, Book of Kings, chapter 19. The first Book of Kings, chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baken on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now Psalm 91. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. May God bless the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious and eternal Lord God in heaven, we're favoured once more to be found in thy house on the Lord's Day. We do earnestly desire to be found in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Lord, do put us in that right spirit, that right frame of mind, as we seek to approach unto Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt come and do all things for us this day. As we seek to worship thee, may it be in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, for thy gracious help. We pray for thy presence to be known and felt here. We do pray, Lord, that thou would make the place of thy feet glorious, that thou wilt walk amongst thy churches here below, amongst the candlesticks. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember us for good. We are sinful worms of this earth. We come into thy house. We bow before thee. Oh, but may our hearts be right before thee. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, we do pray that thou art cast out sin and enter in, be born in us today. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Lord, may there be thy blessing to rest upon the services of thy house. We would bring before thee, Lord, those prayers offered up before the start of this service at the prayer meeting. Those silent prayers and those offered up in public, may they be granted answers of peace through the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake alone. We would bring before thee each who gather here, each found here this day, and we would remember those who are unable to be here. We would pray and desire, Lord, thy blessing upon each, that thou wilt remember them as a church and congregation, that thou wilt bless them and do them good. May they dwell together in union and communion with thee. May there be that unity amongst the brethren. May love flow one from one to another. May the love of Christ be in each heart. And may it have that gracious effect upon us in our conduct, our conversations, in our walk, in every aspect of our lives. May we have that zeal from thee. Lord, stir us up, we pray. We're prone to slumber. We're prone, Lord, to be taken up with the things of this life. There are many here, many of us, Lord, with busy things, busy scenes in the week, busy minds as we come into thy house. Thoughts, Lord, of everything else sometimes other than of the things of God. Oh, but do come now, we pray, and take those thoughts away. May we have an hour in thy house, taken up wholly by thee. Do set our affections on things above. Draw us, Lord, to thee. Reach out thy kind and gracious hand. May there be that touch from thee. Touch what a heart here and a heart there. May thy word this day touch hearts and meet cases. May one and another be enabled by thy grace to press through that crowd and touch the hem of thy garment. We pray for those who come. Thou knowest the conditions and cases, the concerns of each. Every heart is open before thee. Thou knowest, Lord, our every need. May thy grace supply.
May thy strength be made perfect in weakness. And Lord, bless each who gather. Be with seeking, longing souls. Some seeking to know thee as their Saviour. Some seeking to know thee again. Some seeking, Lord, a help in providence. Seeking a word of direction. But Lord, may none go empty away. No disappointment, Lord, we pray, other than with our own selves, our poor returns, our poor professions. But Lord, do touch those hearts. Open ears, open the blind eyes, set free the captives, loose the prisoners, we pray. Quicken dead sinners into a newness of life. May the glorious gospel shine into each heart. Convince us of our sins, then lead us to Jesus' blood. Lead us to thy beloved Son, the sinner's only hope. We pray for each, Lord, who come. May there be those who have come with an expectation, expecting, desiring, longing. Lord, be with them and supply their needs. And be with any, Lord, who come unconcerned. Oh, may there be a purpose of love to them. Oh, Lord, do deal with them in love and mercy. May none be left out. If we think of that great day that lies before each one of us, and we each have a soul that will never die, a soul that will never perish. Oh, Lord, we're to be found forever and ever in either heaven or hell. Oh, Lord, prepare us each. May we be fitted and prepared for heaven. May none prove to be castaways. Oh, Lord, we pray that in the fullness of time, that thou wilt bring each one into that great sheet knit at the four corners, taken up into heaven, and there to sing thy praise for ever and ever. May not a hoof be left behind. Leave none out, pass none by. May there be that cry, give me Christ or else I die. Lord, we pray for those with burdens in their families, ill health, trials and afflictions. Maybe there are those walking in difficult circumstances providentially, maybe troubling things, perplexing things. May we cast all our cares upon thee and prove that thou carest for us. May we know the balancing of the clouds, a father's hand, a father's correction, a father's love. We would remember, Lord, the children. Bless them, Lord, we pray. We think of the Sunday school and ask thy blessing upon it. And do build them up. Build them up here as a church and congregation. Build them up on their most holy faith. Lord, may all these things be for thy honour and glory. Lord, fill the empty seats with praying, seeking, longing souls. We live in an evil day, but thou art on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning, and it's in thy hand all things are, and thou canst do anything that thou choosest. May it be thy will to remember us as a church and denomination in the land in which we live. And begin today, we pray, if it could please thee. May thy hand open and pour out blessings from on high. May the Spirit come and apply the word with power. May there be that flowing together between the pulpit, the desk and the pew, and thy presence known and felt, and some good things done in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt forgive our every sin. Do wash us and make us clean. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. For we are unworthy sinners, but we come on mercy's ground. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. So, Lord, do hear our poor prayers. Forgive all that we ask amiss. And may thy blessing rest upon us as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1084. Ah, wretched, vile, ungrateful heart, that can from Jesus thus depart, thus fond of trifles vainly rove, forgetful of a Saviour's love. 1084.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to the first reading, 1 Kings chapter 18, chapter 19 and verse 7. The first book of Kings, chapter 19. With the Lord's help, I'll speak to you this morning from verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." 1 Kings chapter 19, in the 7th verse. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." We are favoured that Almighty God has left this chapter on record for us. You see, when you read chapter 18, you see wonderful things done by the Lord through the servant Elijah. But here in chapter 19, why we see the honour and glory of it all given to Father, Son and Holy Spirit. What do I mean? Well, I mean this, that the wonderful things, the deliverance from that famine and drought, the events at Mount Carmel, the slaying of the prophets, the fire descending from heaven and consuming the sacrifice, at the command of Elijah, wonderful things, honour and glory to God. But here we see there's no self, that there's nothing testified to Elijah. Elijah, a man subject to like passions as we are, we read in the Epistle of James. We're told in this chapter, we're shown in this chapter, the man Elijah, a real man. You see, a wonderful witness in his life. Wonderful things done. The Lord with him, the Lord blessing him. But we're in love, enabled to enter in and be shown Elijah really in a place where many of the Lord's people are to be found. And if we were to read the Word of God, and there was none of this revelation of the workings of a heart of the Lord's people, where would we be? Where would we be without these verses in chapter 19? We would see that the Lord's servants, the Lord's dear people, and we would know nothing of their temptations and their burdens and their fears and their doubts. It is to the honour and glory of God that we have these verses. It shows all the power, all the glory, all given to Almighty God. It's not Elijah as some special superhuman man. He's a man subject to like passions as we are. And here, you read the first verse of chapter 18, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And then the first verse of this chapter, and the second verse, and we read, he flees from the presence, from the threat of a woman.
There in chapter 18, in the hand of God, given the strength by Almighty God, he goes and shows himself to Ahab after such a long time, proclaiming that a curse upon the land, that there would be no rain, threats to his life, and he shows himself to Ahab, and he calls the prophets and to Mount Carmel. No fear, I will not fear what man will do unto me, in the strength of the Lord. And here in chapter 18, he flees from the threats of a woman. Beloved friends, without the Lord's help, without the Lord's gracious presence, we can do nothing. You can't take comfort, really, from what you've done up to today. For if the Lord is not with you tomorrow, where will you be? Those of us who fear the Lord, we may have passed through many wonderful deliverances, but without the Lord, where will we be tomorrow? Oh, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. This should be our concern as we read these verses. You see a man left to himself. And where would we be left to ourselves? There but for the grace of God. Do we know this all-seeing, all-loving eye watching over us? We don't claim to be something that we're not, do we? You don't claim to be something in your profession. Surely you acknowledge that all these things are given of God. We're not guilty like the Pharisees, are we, of looking at other people in the world and saying, well, I'm not as bad as them. I wouldn't do that. Surely you know that you're capable of the most evil of things. It's only by the grace of God that you're kept. Surely you know that the deceitfulness and wickedness of your own heart a little, don't you? That you would be committing the vilest of crimes were you not kept by that unseen hand. Oh, in the hands of Satan, with an almighty God leaving us, letting Satan tempt us for a season, where would we be? Who can hold us up but thou? But we have this verse before us. Laid upon my spirit, and the angel of the Lord came again. He's fearful. He's tempted. He's overwhelmed. In a moment, he's overwhelmed. He's forgotten the events, hasn't he? They've passed through a great mountain, a great water. A wonderful miracle has taken place. Great events, as great as will ever be seen, I'm sure, on this earth. And in the next moment, there's a mountain before him. The Lord's permitted a mountain to loom again. And there, you see, his eyes are on that mountain. He sees, he hears, and he went for his life, we read. He went for his life. He fled. He's cast down. He's burdened. He says it is enough. He sits under the juniper tree. Lord, it's enough. I can't take any more. Lord, I can't live another day on this earth. He's had enough of it. He's sick of it. He's battled with Satan and doubts and fears, and he's buffeted and he's brought to the end of it all, and he can't go on. In his own strength, he's had enough. He cannot continue. Lord, it's enough. He sits under that juniper tree. He sits down and he says, it is enough. I can't go on. I'm at the end of everything. Oh, do you know a little of this feeling? Maybe it comes right where you are this morning. You've been seeking to walk in the fear of the Lord. The Lord has helped you, and yet this problem's come. This tribulation's arisen. And it just comes in like a flood. It almost takes you unawares. Your own fear, it takes you by surprise. You plummet down in depression almost. You didn't see it coming. And with the power of Satan behind it, with your own unbelieving heart, it drags you down. And you say, I can't go on. You feel that the Lord has forsaken you. You feel that he's gone against you. You may have been seeking to walk in his command, but now it seems all is against you. There's these doubts. Am I one of his? Am I right? Well, Elijah wasn't necessarily in that place. Am I right? You see, he knew in his heart that he was one of the Lord's, but he had had enough. You know, he felt his work was done. He couldn't go on. He was worn out. He was overwhelmed with it all. He'd just been through this one great event, and here there's something else. You know, trouble, one after the other. Maybe that's how you are. It's not one trial after another, it's one on top of another. No sooner as you seem to get your head above water, then another wave comes over. When will it end? Oh, and you're sick and tired of it. And you feel at the end of everything. He says, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. You know, he can't put his hand to it. He's not feeling suicidal in that way. But he's had enough. He knows there's a rest that remaineth for the people of God. And he wants to leave this world. Now, it's a little different to how Paul was. When you read the epistles, there Paul is writing, and he wants to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. But here Elijah is really wanting to escape hardship. He wants to escape a path that the Lord has him in. He wants to leave a path that the Lord has put him in. His desire is a little different to Paul. Paul is designed to be with Christ, which is far better. But then his love to the church and the people of God, he's not wanting to flee them. But here, Elijah is feeling the way is too hard. The way is too rough. I can't go on. I want to leave. I want to leave. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And there he lays himself down under the juniper tree. And there we see a loving God. Well, he doesn't answer his prayer. It's a poor prayer, isn't it? Take away my life. You know, some of us have had to pray that, been brought there to, you know, the way's too hard. You can't go on. You just want the Lord to take you away from it all. Oh, you know, we love our wives and our husbands and our families. But you know, we sigh and moan over the things of this life. And when these things overwhelm us, oh, there's that feeling, Lord, it is enough. I can't go on. Surely this is the end. Surely I've reached the end. And he lays himself down. But it's not the end. It's not the Father's will that Elijah's to be taken. His work isn't finished. His work must continue. There are things to be done. And there is, beloved friends, there is this gracious, loving supply of his need. Who can pick him up from this depression? Who can rekindle that zeal? Who can inflame that heart? Who can breathe into this soul? Kindle that little flickering flame into that burning furnace? Who can strengthen him? Who can pick him up and send him on his way? Only an almighty, loving Heavenly Father. And there's an angel sent. The Lord knows exactly what he needs. He knew what Elijah's pathway was. He brought him to that point. And you know, if you're feeling like Elijah, you can't go on. Maybe you're under the burden of sin. Maybe you're cast down, feeling you're not one of the Lord's. Maybe you're at the ends of the earth in that way this morning. You're not saying, take away my life, for you dread that, but you said it is enough. Oh Lord, I can't bear being shown any more of my unfitness, my unworthiness, my wretchedness, my guilt. Lord, I've been shown again that I've a treacherous heart. Lord, I've been shown again that I can't do any good things. Lord, I've been shown again I've fallen into the same sin again that I promised, that I swore I would not do. Lord, I've been shown again that I can't keep alive my own soul. And I'm wretched and undone. And it's enough for you this morning. Oh, friends, that conviction of sin, it brings a sinner to the end of everything. Oh, an end of every hope in himself, an end of every hope in his profession, an end of any hope that he can do anything to merit it. And then, in the fourth watch of the night, we read Jesus came to them walking on the sea, and here the angel is sent and touches him and says, arise and eat. Arise and eat. And there's a provision made. There's food and there's water. And he lays himself down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. A loving Heavenly Father, dealing in love with one of his dear children, sending, touching, providing, doing everything that is required. Arise and eat. But there's something added, because the journey is too great for thee. Now, maybe you have something that's too great for you. Too great for you in maybe providence. Maybe there's a journey to be done. There's something in providence that's overwhelming. And you painfully feel it. But oh, to have the angel come apply this word to your heart this morning. He knoweth the way that I take. Why? For he says, arise and eat. Why? Because I know, dear child, that the journey's too great for thee. I know. But it's my strength made perfect in weakness. For he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And beloved friends, it was sufficient for Elijah. Elijah's a man subject to like passions as we are. And yet, Lord, his grace was sufficient for him. Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. What do we read in, is it Isaiah 26? Those verses there. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. You see, the Lord, in love, he says, arise and eat. He gives him some food, gives him some water, and he lets him sleep. He lets him rest. It's love in it, you know. Love in it. He says, come, my people, enter into thy chambers. Come apart and rest a while. He knows the journey's too great. But there'll be that, there will be that second touch. There may be the Lord giving you that rest and that food and nourishment that you need. But you know, there will be that second touch. There's something to be done. There is a path to be walked out. He won't have you avoid it. He won't have you walk round it. Maybe it's an open profession. I have no idea why I'm thinking of these things this morning. Certainly wasn't yesterday. Maybe there's this pathway to walk. And you've had that arise and eat. He's breathed into your soul. You've been under the juniper tree. You've been convinced of your sins. You've been brought to the ends of the earth. You've said, Lord, this is enough. Give me Christ or else I die. And he's come in and he's given you that touch. Oh, he's whispered that still small voice of the gospel into your soul. And he says, arise. He says, look up unto me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Look unto me. Arise. He says, arise to the poor sinner, the beggar in the dunghill. That poor trembling sinner. He's under the juniper tree. He's prostrate. His mouth is in the dust. He abhors himself. He can't go on. He says, arise. Why? Ah, there's honour and glory to be given. Arise, sinner. And he speaks. He says, yeah, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And it's loving kindness that's put you in the dust. And it's loving kindness that whispers that still small voice, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The winter's past. The rain is gone. It's a springtime. Arise, my love, and my fair one, and come away. Why? There's no spot in thee. Thou art all fair, my love. But I'm a prostrate sinner. I'm vile. I'm wretched. I'm undone. He says, no, my child. No. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. And he says, arise. Friend, come up higher. Friend, come and see. See the beauties. See every the beauties of Christ. See every need met in him. See all your vileness and your unfitness answered and met in his beloved Son. Oh, look unto me and be ye saved. He says, come. Oh, friends, arise. May that voice be spoken into our hearts. Those who feel the weight of sin, the burden of it, oh, they can't go on with this burden of sin. You know, that seeking soul, a true seeking soul, you know, it becomes more than anything they can bear. It becomes more of an issue, more of a problem, more of a perplexity than anything in their life. And you know, there may be some very hard things. The Lord may have begun providentially. He may have begun with affliction, pain, suffering. But you know, the fact that they've a never-dying soul, and they're unfit for heaven, they're unworthy, and they're shown where their sins deserve to take them. And as they're shown that the Lord is just in sending them to hell, under that weight, everything else pales into insignificance. It really does. That there's one concern, one aim, one burden, there's one concern, and it overrules every other aspect in their lives. They have an aching void the world cannot fill. There's something weighing them down. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. And that's it, isn't it? We see it in the chapter we read. The Lord giving strength, displaying his power, his ability to pick a sinner up and carry him and bear him and bring him safe at last. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And there we have it. Elijah goes in the strength of that meat, 40 days and 40 nights. With the Lord, our helper, we can do anything. With the Lord, there is strength. With the Lord, there's help. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And it is, friends, if the Lord is working in your heart, it's for the honour and glory of God. Arise, arise and eat. Arise and eat. For the journey is too great for thee. There's a journey we're each on. We're all journeying to one great event. Our lives are all pointing to one day. You know, our lives and the events in our lives and the things in our lives are shaping us for that great day. We're told that we are as clay in the hands of a heavenly potter. solemnly, many vessels are made for dishonour. Many are being prepared for never-ending punishment. Mercifully, there are those being prepared and shaped and moulded and made right and ready to be found in glory. And our lives are directing us. We're on this journey, and it's to that day. And you and me are on a journey this morning. We know not when that journey will end. The old must die, the young may die. We know not what an hour or day may bring forth. So really, when you think of your life and mine, it's what, 70, 80, 90 years? People living, the Lord blessing medical means and life being often into 80s and 90s. But it does end. And what's 90 years compared to an endless eternity? What's 90 years compared to ever and ever? Never ending. It's less than a drop in the ocean, isn't it? It's forever and ever. And it struck me the other day, really, how we can be taken up with things of this life. We can be taken away with things. We can almost be lulled into a sense, well, it's a resurrection of the Lord's people to glory. But what of this soul that is passed by, that is left to endless punishment? You see, that soul doesn't die. There's a resurrection for them. But it's resurrection for death. There's not an extermination. There's not an end. There's no end to the sufferings. There's no end to the glories of heaven. Oh, beloved friends, may we realize these things. May the Holy Spirit come and apply these things to our hearts. For we are all on the brink when you think of our lives. It's such a small, insignificant number of years compared to eternity that we're all on the brink of it. But you see, Satan will blind us and will have us walking around in this world like we're invincible. Well, like we're going to live forever. Like it's always going to be like this. And then he blinds the eyes of the world. And he stops their ears. But we're all on this journey. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes to see it. See it this morning. Where is my journey in this life going to end? Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Does it concern me, my soul? Is eternity in a tremendous sound? The guilty soul's a dreadful wound. Is it? Do you feel the conviction of it? Have you been brought to cry for mercy? There is mercy to be found. There is hope for wretched sinners. There is a friend of sinners. There is a man, a glorious man, the man Christ Jesus, that name whereby we must be saved. All who call upon him, all who call upon him shall be saved. Do you believe it? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Do you believe it? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, and in our comings, as we're enabled to come, and lay all before him. The journey's too great for me, Lord. I've been shown by thy Spirit. The journey is too great. I can barely get through this life, but what of eternity? Lord, it's too great for me. A coming sinner, falling before him. Lord, undertake for me. I can't do it, Lord, myself. I'm a wretched sinner. I'm lost and ruined, wretched and undone. But there is mercy to be found. Oh, I hear the name of Jesus, and it's sweet to me. Why? Not that I can claim he's mine, but I see his life and his death for his people. I see that wondrous sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son that cleanses us from all sin. I see a beauty in it. I see a beauty in him that I desire him. And with that, I come. Lord, I come and fall before thee. Lord, this journey is too great for me. Oh, give me Christ or else I die. Lord, the journey is going to end in endless ruin and deep despair unless thou hast mercy. Lord, come and grant that forgiveness of sin. Pardon my every sin. I've a wretched life. Wash my robes in the blood of the Lamb. May I be clothed with that glorious righteousness of Christ. My own life's wretched. My own profession's wretched. But Lord, thy life, spotless, innocent and pure. And that coming sinner, seek and you shall find. Friends, what a mercy this morning that the door is open for those who live to feel their need. And do we? That's the important question this morning. Do you feel a need of him? I ask my soul this question then, for here I would begin. Oh, do I feel a want of Christ to save me from my sin? We get Satan, doesn't he love to bring the doctrine of election and he twists it and he makes it a barrier. But friends, you walk through, as Bunyan said, you walk through the arch, the door of mercy, and it has salvation written over it. And a sinner, with his eyes opened by the Holy Spirit, longs for salvation, and he walks through that doorway. As he walks through the door, he turns round and he sees election written on the other side. That's the reason he's come through. The Lord's loved him with an everlasting love. He must draw him through the door. Oh, to see salvation over it. To see, to have a need in our souls, to have a desire after him, to have a burden of sin, and see Christ as a sinner's only hope. The door of salvation opened for guilty, wretched sinners who feel a need of Christ. Arise and eat. Oh, for I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand. You see, he's going to come and take you by the hand. He says, arise and eat, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Fear thou not, arise and eat. Come, taste the beauties of Christ. Come and taste. Come and feast on a precious Christ, a finished work, the blood, oh, that broken body, the precious blood of Christ. Come and feast upon him. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, these are great, beautiful, and precious promises. Oh, that Christ may be precious to us, that he may open our eyes, that he may make himself precious to us, that we may see a beauty in him. Your every need met. You know, one glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, friend, that will pick you up. Oh, if the Lord opens your eyes and you behold him in all his beauty, that will pick you up, because he has set his love upon me. We read in Psalm 91. This is the Lord speaking. This is God speaking. He's going to do all these things for him. He's going to give his angels charge over thee. He's going to keep thee in all thy ways. He's not going to let Satan pluck you from the Father's hand. He's not going to let Satan take you at last. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Because he has set his love on me. This is the reason that the sinner has his eyes fixed on Christ. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. This is God speaking. Friends, what mercy. Call upon me, he says, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Doesn't say you'll keep him from trouble. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him from it and honour him. It'll bring you into something, but he'll be with you in it, and he'll carry you through it. And there will be a nevertheless afterward. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time. Oh, maybe the Lord has touched you many years ago, and now you're journeying nearer that day of your death, and it's a concern. Oh, I want the Lord to touch me again. You read the Word of God, you go back to those promises he gave you, but there's not the power in them. It's just the letters on the page. Oh, that the angel will touch you again. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, Lord, touch me again. Touch me again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. He's got it all prepared for you. Every need met right through this life and into the next. Arise and eat. There's a pathway for you to walk this morning. There may be one here who's a journey. There's a specific thing the Lord has asked you to walk in a certain way, and you say, I can't go. You want to avoid it. You want to get out of it. You can't see a way you can possibly undertake it or walk it. But he's saying, I know, and I've made a way for you. Arise and eat. Let not Satan tempt you and tell you he can't sympathize. The Lord Jesus Christ, he knows what it is to be weary. He knows what it is to have a mountain before him. He knows what it is to fear. The man Christ Jesus, in fear, he cried to his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Is that not the words of Elijah here? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. There's an almighty Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. May that be our submission before him. But he knows what it is. He sympathizes. Satan will tell you he's out of touch. He's an almighty God. He doesn't know, beloved friends. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. He's walked a greater, more difficult pathway than any of his children will have to walk. He knows what it is, and he's able to succor us in our temptations. Come and lay all on him. He says, come unto me. Don't sit under the juniper tree. Arise and eat. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The journey is too great for thee. And he knows it. But it's arise and eat. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £645, for which we're very thankful. And Mr. Parrish hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon, God willing. And Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Adrian Pickett next Lord's Day. And our friends at Penstanton hope to hold their anniversary services on Saturday. Let us close with hymn 143. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. 143.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.